I've got to be honest with you that I find it very difficult to speak about what we're actually going to speak about this morning. It's difficult for a number of reasons. First of all, because we don't particularly like thinking about death as human beings. We kind of recoil from it. But yet our curiosity and our desire to know and to have some assurance in our lives as we face the inevitable drives us to make these questions. And we're not really alone in these questions, but we also know that our hope is not based on a certain set of doctrines, but our hope is based on a person. Anna and I have been watching this show recently called Upload. It's supposed to take place 30 years in the future, but I think that that's kind of optimistic based on how ubiquitous self-driving cars are in that time and how amazing the technology is, and I really don't see that happening in the next 30 years, but maybe I'm just more pessimistic than Greg Daniels, the creator of the show. Anyway, in the world of the show, the technology has come to the point where when you die, your consciousness is uploaded into a computer so that you can live forever in a digital paradise as long as you have the money to pay for it. Now, the show is a comedy, so you would expect an absurd premise like this, but leaving aside the fact that the premise is absurd, it's also a little bit more than a little terrifying. And it's terrifying because of this word, forever. Forever is a really, really long time. And whenever people are faced with something large and inconceivable, like the concept of forever or eternity, it is frightening to us by its very nature, or at least it's frightening to me. Today we're going to be talking about the part of the statement of faith that reads, "The portion of the unrepentant and unbelieving is existence forever in conscious torment, and that of the believer in everlasting joy and bliss." Now, shows like Upload, or the other show that's been kind of making the rounds these days, The Good Place, show that our world has a huge interest in the afterlife. Even though many people in our world right now don't believe that there is such a thing as an afterlife, there is still a lot of curiosity and fear in our culture about death. And this preoccupation with the afterlife is then reflected from our culture into our statement of faith here, at this point talking about what happens to you after you die. That if you are a believer, death is a transition to joy and bliss, and if you are not, it is a transition to conscious torment, the opposite of joy and bliss. But while this preoccupation exists in our culture and is thus reflected in our statement of faith, we should not make the mistake of thinking that this same level of emphasis is placed in the afterlife in the Bible, because it isn't. The Bible actually isn't very concerned at all with what happens to people immediately after they die, which is surprising to a lot of people who generally think about the teachings of Christianity as though they consisted solely of instructions about how to go to heaven when you die instead of hell. In fact, most of what we think that we know about heaven and hell owes itself much more strongly to Dante rather than the Bible. The images that come into your head when you think about the word hell, or even the images that you think of when you think of heaven, reflecting more on what consisted of the novel written a few hundred years ago rather than the Bible itself. In fact, when you read the Bible for yourself, you might be stunned to notice that in the Old Testament there is little to no mention of what happens to people when they die. And even in the New Testament, it's a minor subject at best, which has led one of my favorite theologians to put it this way. According to the Bible, life after death is important, but it isn't the end of the world. So, while we're talking about this subject this morning, that's how I want to break it down. Life after death is important, but it isn't the end of the world. It's important, first of all, because of the justice and the faithfulness of God. See, in our minds, our beliefs about the afterlife, most of the time they stem from what we assume is true about mankind. We assume that mankind, the Bible teaches that mankind is basically dualistic. That is, he consists of a body, the stuff that we can see are material parts, which is the mortal part, and a soul, the immortal part, that kind of resides here-ish. and so we believe, because we are basically dualistic in our thinking, we believe that when you die, it is the body ceasing to function. But that it is impossible then for the soul to cease to function, And so it goes on, either to a blissful existence or to a tormented existence. But this isn't why the Bible teaches an afterlife. The Bible is not as strictly dualistic as we are in our thinking. The Bible isn't about us. It's about God. So there's this strange story in the Gospels, and the Sadducees come to Jesus, and the Sadducees are a Jewish sect that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in a soul. They don't believe in angels. They don't really believe in spiritual beings much other than God. And they come to Jesus, and they have a question about the resurrection. And Jesus doesn't respond to them with statements about the nature of man. You would expect Jesus to talk, if that was the important thing for them to understand, he would expect them to try to make them see the spiritual side of things. But he doesn't respond with statements about our nature. He responds with a statement about the nature of God. "Haven't you read," he says, "in the law, when God says, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.'" And then he says, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And that his faithfulness to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his faithfulness to us by extension, is stronger even than the grave." And that is why biblically we believe in an afterlife, because of the goodness of God. And that's why life after death is important. It's not important because of us. It's important because of who the Bible is written about. It's important because of God. But it is also important because of the justice of God. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment, is how the author of Hebrews puts it. The world is an unjust place. The righteous suffer while the wicked thrive. Some people suffer a lot in this life, and other people thrive more than they ought to. But the Bible teaches that the justice of God will rule at the end, because there will come a time of judgment, which is what's happening in the parable that Quinn just read. Life after death is important because it is the time when God, through Jesus, pronounces judgment. Now, we've said this before, but it bears repeating. When in our mind, judgment is this negative thing. I was talking to Anna this morning about it's one of the strangest things that we experienced when we were younger, which is something called Judgment House, which is basically a Christian haunted house that churches used to put on. I don't know if this still happens anymore. But basically, you would go through different rooms and you would die in this scenario, and then you would either go to hell or you would go to heaven. And, you know, hell was this dark place where things like reached out of the walls and tried to snatch you and stuff. And it was a very strange thing. But if your mind is shaped like that when you're a child, to hear the word judgment and immediately think about things like Judgment House, then you would understand why you would have a negative connotation for it, because basically judgment has the same ring as haunted. Now, we've said it before in trying to correct this, but judgment in Scripture is a good thing, because judgment has to do with righteousness and justice. And it is God setting the world to rights, beginning with people. He is reshaping us through his judgment to set the world to rights. If you need more evidence that the world is an unjust place right now, you just look at what's going on in the world right now and in the streets of this country over the last week. We need God's judgment to straighten things out, because we're doing a terrible job of it ourselves. And the Bible teaches that this happens ultimately after we die, which is why life after death is important. But even though life after death is important, it's not the end of the world. I've said that the Bible actually says very little about life after death, and this is true, but it says a lot about life after death. The Bible does not teach a disembodied spiritual afterlife for eternity. In fact, it teaches emphatically the difference, the opposite of that. It teaches the resurrection of the dead and a permanent, never-ending physical existence. This is where the emphasis of Scripture lies, because of the two reasons that we just mentioned. Because God is just and faithful to his creation, our bodies are not evil things that we need to shed in order to be pure spirits, according to the Bible. Nor is this world a wicked place at its core. It is a good creation that is marred by sin. And because God is a faithful and a good creator, he will not abandon his creation to decay, suffering, and evil. He will restore it in resurrection. So, when we're talking about ultimate destinations and the end goal of life, we do not mean, as Christians, a disembodied heaven where we can play harps floating on clouds all day. Nor should we imagine an ultimate justice of God being punishment for disembodied spirits in some foreign dimension. The Bible gives very little description about what life after death is like. The main distinction is shown in this parable. Either you are with Christ, or you are apart from him. And this shows us where our focus should be right now. Our focus should be on Christ. Paul says in the passage in Philippians that we read at the beginning of the service that he desires to depart and to be with Christ. This is the great hope for the Christian after death. This is everlasting joy and bliss, that we might be with him. We get caught up too easily in disagreements and discussions about what heaven and hell are like. And there's nothing wrong, really, with being curious and to study to try to figure these things out. But in the end, the question of the afterlife is the same question that we ask in our life right now. The question that Jesus asks in this parable, what are you going to do about him? Are you going to embrace him and love your neighbor, or are you going to go your own way? Broad is the path and wide is the door that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it. But narrow is the road and small the door that leads to life, and few are those who find it. The Bible is not a book to prepare you for the afterlife. It is a book for right now. And its purpose isn't to make sure that you go to heaven. Its purpose is to lead you to Christ. If you are resisting that purpose, you'll never understand the Bible as it was meant to be understood, as it was meant to be given to us. We need to make sure that our focus is not on these particular points and the finer details of doctrine. We need to make sure that our focus is where the Bible wants to focus us, which is on the face of Jesus Christ and on the people that he loves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wisdom that you've given us in your word to care for the least of these, our brothers and sisters. Help us to be about your business. Help us to be aware of your presence while we're serving. Help us to see the things that we can do this week that would be serving you, feeding you, clothing you, and showing hospitality to you and your brothers and sisters. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Change our hearts, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a blessing to say until next week when we can finally see each other again. It's from Psalm chapter 19. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May God bless you this week. Be reaching out to each other, and then I look forward to seeing you all in the service next week.